Father, we are thankful for not just able to be here today, but to be able to be part of like what you're doing, not just what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but what you are doing today in this part of the world, in this region, in our lives, in everything that we do, Father, that you want us to reach out. You want us to acknowledge you in everything that we do, God. And to know, Father, what your Spirit is saying, what you're leading us, and what you're saying to the church, God. And thank you, Father, we are part of it. And we are actually, Father, just walking, being co-workers with Jesus in this world. As if Jesus walking here today and doing the same ministry, and that the church is doing the same, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But we're part of it. I give you thanks. I give you praise. Amen. How many of you were blessed last Sunday? How many of you felt the message was adding to what you're doing already and putting a lot of perspective back in track and everything? One person? Anybody? Good. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to continue what we did, and I don't know if it's a coincidence that Bob is not here, but I felt like already last week I just feel in my spirit that I need to keep doing what I did last week. And so when I heard he's not able to make it, I thought, you know what? Whatever is like God has planned, so I just feel like it's the right thing to do. And I want to continue with the topic of the oil and the wine. And I have a couple of pictures I want to show you as well. And, okay. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read from, we did that. We just want to continue a little bit more in this. Just Matthew 9, verse 16 to 17. It said, people don't sew a patch of new clothes on old clothes. The new piece will pull away from the old. That will make the tear worse. 17, people don't put new wine into old wineskin. If they do, the skin will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be destroyed. No, not everyone put new wine into wineskin. Then both are saved. I want you, if you have your Bible, you want to underline this. Then both are saved. New wine into wineskin. Now, I don't know how many of you have listened to many other preachers or teachers about what is the meaning of new wine. And I'm going to talk about this more, what the meaning of new wine. Okay? And last time we did talk a little bit about the oil. And what literally oil mean? It mean represent ministering to the poor, ministering to these people. And okay, right. Thank you, Father. Also, just touch back on a couple of things that I pray that you will find out. What the seal represent and how to able to, remember we talk about the scroll and the seal. And Jesus opened the scroll, he opened the seal and he read. And the prophet Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what I feel like I'm going to help you today to see that, to understand and to have the spirit of discernment, what are the seal and the scroll and the God's purpose of God in your life. Okay. I just want to bear with me a little bit as well. One thing I know for sure, since we have this church here, we never had any Sunday that we've been repeating every sermon. Every Sunday is just like a brand new one. And interesting, I was reading a journal from Christian Leadership, and we talk, they say, every preachers, pastors, we do 46 sermons per year. And we say, this is very hard work for pastors. I thought, 46 sermons a year? Are you kidding me? That's what we do like in the month. You know, and when especially when we go to different places. And this year, I want you to pray, and I want you to be part of that as well. We're going to do a mission trip to Peru, a place called Piura, P-I-U-R-A, and also one place in called Kauai, which is a little bit. How many have been to Peru? Anybody? Yes, you probably understand Kauai. Kauai is it's a scriptures YWAM base, and we're also going to go to the slum area where the children and the poor people and missionaries. So there's going to be two phases of that trip. One is gathering 100 plus pastors, full time pastors, in Peru, and train them for a whole week for the work of the ministry. And that week is we'll provide them 3 meals a day, place to stay, accommodation, all this kind of thing. We want them to forget about their job, forget about their ministry for a whole week, just to come and to able to receive. And how many know pastors are tough sometimes to receive? I'm telling you. But God's there, and so it's, and especially when you have several kind of denomination get together, you know these things happen. So, but we just pray that whatever God wants to do with them, because it's not about them, it's about Him. So we want to be able to go and reach out and help them and to be better pastors and to increase in what God's calling in their life, this kind of thing. So we definitely need your prayer. Now, a couple of things. Suddenly, things start to speed very fast. This church, we're putting our mission trip, and we're combining with Catch a Fire World, do the Ilsam, like the whole 1 week school. So we're putting these two things together. And so normally every year we go on a mission trip. So this is part of our this year mission trip to Peru. So you are invited to come and join us on this mission trip. It's about 12 days, right? 1 week for the Ilsam International School of Ministry, and then a couple of days with the local missionary. So we're going to go to the orphanage. We're going to go to this poor area. We're going to help, but we're not going to start any new work. That's not what we do. We go there. We support the local missionary, what they've been doing for years, and we have a couple. Mark and Anna, that we're good friend with them, and Mark is from England, from Sheffield, but Anna is a native Peruvian, but grew up in England, and both of them know the culture, the language. We live in Peru, so we're going to team up with them. In January, there was about a team of 12 or 13 people from the School of Ministry student. We were there for 3 weeks, so they already know, they already built contacts. And then we also team up with a Canadian missionary who is retired from Air Canada, and he traveled to Peru every year 3-4 times. He was there in February. Now he's going is again, and he started church in Puria, and he built this church. And I want you to start to think a little bit about Peru. You've probably seen some of the pictures, videos, and you know, the city, but. The local missionary, when they do mission work, they literally, we go camping in the Amazon, in the forest, and there's some of them, a little motel kind of, you know, and we stay, and then the next day we take the canoe, we go on the lake, we visit remote villages, and we are primitive, native people who have probably never heard the gospel. So we're reaching out to them. That will be like 3-4 days. Add to the pastors and leaders conference. All right? So it's that kind of level we're pushing it. And also this man, Nick, he's Greek, Canadian. we just give him somebody to be a pastor in his church. And he also connected with Living Waters, a ministry in the state, who go around the world and drill waters. So Living Waters in January has sent their equipment, big heavy duties equipment, to Peru. And what happened is the custom people, they wanted more money. And they want to store this, so they said, okay, you have to store this place, which is their friend or relatives, could be. And they don't get permits, so they keep paying for every day. They was charging them, like, very expensive, around maybe 8 to 10,000 per day to store that equipment. And make a long story short, they got connected with the pastors, and this pastor's his best friend is a mayor, and the mayor have connection with the president. So the mayor get involved, and the president know about this. Next thing you know, they don't have to pay nothing for bringing the equipment, because they told what their purpose is, to drill water in the remote area. And so that was a blessing. Next thing we know, the U.S. Army sent their biggest helicopters to carry this drilling machine into this remote area, because there's no train, no bus, no truck can go in this area. The only place, the only way to be able to bring it is the helicopters. So they lift up this heavy engine thing, bring them to this remote area, they were able to drill. And this is a good thing. Now we're going with Nick, who's this, and the mayor and the president are supporting us, and the 100 pastors is coming together. And their churches wanted to open up their doors and venues so that we can do ministry there. So it's already like, before we go, there's already something. God is opening doors way before we even put our feet in Peru. So that's a very good thing. So I want to encourage you, if you want to go, and Alex and I, we're planning to go. We want to bring Daniel with us. And this is open to world changers. And this world changers is a couple of thousand people around the world who are members of World Changers. It's open to them to join, but we don't want to bring a big team. We want to bring about 8 to 10 people maximum. I don't want to start dealing with people when on the team. We want to be able to minister there. So if you want to go, give us your name, and we'll also work with Cass and Nick, because he's retired from Air Canada. He was, I don't know what his position, but he can get cheap rate to go to Peru. Last time he went was $200 back and forth. And we were checking, our rate was like $1,500. Whoa. Just to the airfare. So we don't know yet, but we talked to him. He said if we travel with him, we can get a very good discount. So that's a very good thing. Okay? Just so that you know, people who are on World Changers, they have to buy their own ticket to join us, and we have to add $800 for the 12 days ministry. That's going to be supporting what we do there. But if you're part of this church, you want to go, let us know. We'll try to get the best deal for you and the best experience. And part of that is you will have experience to minister with people, pray with those leaders and pastors, and meet with the mayors and all those kind of things. So, okay. The next year, our trip we are planning to do, I want you to pray, is we want to go to Indonesia. So if you wanted to know, this is we're looking at places that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us, leading to us. A couple of months ago, in a time of 2 months, three people prophesy over me and say, I see Indonesia, and things are happening fast. And one was Ivan Isabel Alam, and he started speaking, prophesy about Indonesia. And Indonesia was not in my mind, not in my heart. Nothing was telling me about Indonesia. And he started speaking Indonesia with two other people. And they don't know each other, three different places, two different situations. And I'm thinking and praying about this. And I met with one couple who are living to Indonesia next week. They're going to go for 2 months. So they are planning. They are going to meet with all the pastors, all this kind of thing. And we're going to organize for our trip for next year, April, May, Indonesia. So that's something that you want to go, just to, you know. And the other trip we want to do at the end of this year is go to Israel. So those who want to go to the land of Israel, we're looking around November. It's not too hot, and it's a lowest time cost to Israel and a hotel and airfare, and it's a good time to go to Israel. So if you want to go to Israel, we're looking to, if we can get 15 people, that is the best. When we don't want to go with, you know, last time Catch the Fire ministry did that, we had like 5 or 7 bus or something like this. It's too big. Before you go to a venue, you line up for 2 hours, 3 hours before you can visit. So we don't want that. So we want a small group, like a mini bus kind of thing, 15 people, 17 people. We go in, we go out. And all right, so if you just for you to know that. Okay, let me just tell you a little bit about what I feel in my heart, my spirit. And this message is not for elementary. It's not for beginners. It's a little bit further. It's a little bit more advanced. I just want to know you that, let you know that. And some of you will probably was going to be a little bit shocking, but it's everything that we say here. It's come from the scriptures, come from the heart of God, come from the spirit of God. So I want you to be able to step up in the calling and the thing that God has for your life. Okay, and what I felt also that lately there's something that's talking about us. I feel like this is not for everybody, but if that's you, that's for a few people like you. It's almost like things are getting, there was a hope, and then suddenly the hope dies. And there was you were going somewhere in your life, and you were expecting blessing and flow, and it was going to suddenly like boom, something just stopped, hold. How can I describe this? But I want to let you know that in all these things, God has His hand; He's in control. It's a time when I call it the Friday before the Sunday, before the Resurrection Sunday. That Friday night experience. How many know what happened on Friday? The day, the night when Jesus was betrayed, when every one of his disciples ran away, and he knew it's the Father's will. And somehow it's almost the same atmosphere that it's been happening around the world in some of the places, that it's a Friday experience. Going somewhere and suddenly, boom. Like, I want you to think about this. Jesus was in the upper room having meeting with his disciples. And he had a lot of meetings with them. But this night was a special night from other night. You know that. This was a Passover night. This was a night where he washed his disciples' feet. And he revealed to them that he is a Messiah. And now, suddenly, you have to understand, put yourself in a place of the Jewish person or culture. Their generation and generation has been waiting for the Messiah. And they've been knowing that God is going to give us a promise. God's going to send someone to set us free, to victory, and all this kind of thing. And now, this Friday night, he revealed who he is. And suddenly, the hope just rise up high. I mean, burst the ceiling high, you know, and yet he said, one is going to betray me. At the same time he made this announcement, the enemy, you know, planned something in the back. And that same night he was betrayed. Now, I want you to think about all his disciples, Mark, Peter, James, and, you know, all of them, they were suddenly like run away. We've been waiting for the Messiah. Next thing you know, in an hour, 2 hours later, they were running away. Think about this. For years and years, generation, that's what they were waiting for. And when it happened, they scattered. They denied. I don't know this guy. Never knew him. And somehow I felt like there's, not to this extent, but some of, I don't know who is, but I feel like this kind of thing, the enemy want you to be scattered. It's telling you, and it's trying, and this is where you're about to, you're just going closer into what your purpose, your destiny, and fulfilling this. And next thing you know, this thing's happening in your backyard. How many of you relate to what I just say? Okay. But I want to tell you this. But we didn't expect it. We didn't know this. All we knew at this moment, our hope, our dreams is gone. The Messiah is now dead. We crucify him, and all our generation has been waiting for, suddenly it's wasted. It's gone. There's like this hopelessness just piling. It's over the top and incontrollable. It's just like this. And if that's what you're feeling, that's somehow this almost the same thing that's coming, you know, I'll tell you this. There's hope. Because Sunday is coming. Because he is coming back. You're not finished yet. If that's of you, you feel like my hope, my dreams die. It's not. God has a plan. It's not over yet. The best is yet to come. You probably heard that. And you, well, I heard it many times. It doesn't make sense to me. But let me tell you this. Sunday is coming. He's going to come and raise up. It's just for you to be able to see and comprehend and understand in this moment right now that there's hope. And nothing is over yet until God says it's over. And he haven't said it's over yet. So tell your neighbors, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. There's still hope. Sunday is coming. Resurrected Sunday is coming. You believe that? Okay. Good. We showed you a video last Sunday about the white horse and what happened in Egypt and all this kind of thing, and you heard more and more and more every day. And how many of you have time to read Revelation 5, 6, 7? You dig into it? Right. One thing I want to say is this. The tsunami hit Japan, and it was March 11, you know, when the tsunami happened. But also, most people don't know this, but exactly 1 year before March 11, 2010, the government of Japan has officially released from the government about the disagreement with Israel. They stood, they make it known in the United Nations, and they make it known to the world that they do not stand with Israel. And it was when they wanted to build their housing and everything. And this is when Israel said, you cannot build houses, you know. And they literally put a whole list of several pages why they are not with Israel. And they judge, they condemn, they against Israel. That was March 11, 2010. 1 year from that, guess what happened? What happened to them? Their houses was destroyed. And a lot of people die. Right? This is kind of, are you kidding me? Yes, that's what happened. This is a fact. This is true facts. So God is doing things. And there was things in the scriptures that you see people could kind of stand against what God is doing. I'm not just in the Bible, but even a lot of things happen after, you know, people hear from God, we do things, and other people come against it, and things happen, right? Okay. I want to talk about how Jesus can reveal to you how to open your scroll, how to crack open the seal of God in your life. Is that okay? Okay. Luke chapter 5. We're going to talk about Peter this morning. I'm going to use Peter as an example, right? And this will hopefully help you to identify how God is speaking to you, how God is relating to you, and how the things that happen in your life since you've been walking with the Lord, and just for you to just go back and pay attention and remember this thing, and then you will know that these are the things that God's been saying to you all the time, but sometimes we have not really paid much attention to it. So Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 1. On one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, now Lake Gennesaret is in Galilee, right? It's also we call it Capernaum. So when the people crowding around him and listened to the word of God, he saw at the water edge two boats left there by the fishermen, those who were washing their net. Verse 3, he got into one of the boat, the one belonged to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, I want you to try to picture this. Two boat, jump into one. He jumped into Peter's boat and said, push it a little bit further from the shore. And there was a crowd, and he started preaching to them. What happened before? They just came back from fishing. They've been fishing all night. And the fishermen was what? In verse 2, they were washing their net. How many of you know it's very hard work to wash fishermen's net? And especially if you're not fishing from the ocean, you're fishing from a lake, from a river, there's so many, you know, leaves and grass and all this kind of thing that you collected. So you have to literally open all the net, the little square, little clean them, all this kind of thing, right? And they do it by hand. So they were washing their net. And after he finished, taught the people, verse 4, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch. Now, this is probably the noonday. And verse 5, Simon answered, Master, we work hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. Now, I want you to find this picture. I want you to be able to relate something like this in your life. If a fisherman, professional fisherman, has been fishing all night, having caught one fish, it probably said, there's no fish in this lake. They're not here. They're somewhere else. They're in BC. They're not in Toronto. You know, we've done everything we can. We fish all night. We're tired. Now we're cleaning the net. If we knew there were fish, we would still be fishing, but there's nothing. We said, let's pack, go home. And this is what some of you are thinking right now. Let's pack, clean up, and go home. But Jesus said, not yet. Not yet. Go. Let's put it one more time. And other verses say, throw your net on the right side. But that's not the one. That's down the road, you'll find out another similar example. So, Peter said, because you say so, I will do it. Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fishes so that their net began to break. So they signaled their partners on the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. That's a good experience, but not a so good experience. You fish, you don't get anything. Now by the time you fish, you go to sinking. The net's about to break. It's almost like the wine, the new wine. If both you put it, you're going to lose both. Do you remember I tell you to underline, or both is going to be saved, or both is going to be waste, gone. That is almost similar to the new wine thing, right? Okay, now, what do you do in a situation like this? Working all night, you're tired, frustrated. Now, when you go back, suddenly miracle happened. Now you're going to think, miracle can sometime, not sometimes, the true miracle of God is it will change your lives. And sometime it affects you, it will cause disruption in your life that you probably don't expect it. Right? So what do? We call other people to come. That's the only way to have this miraculous fish to be safe. And sometimes this is what we need to do. We need to be able to call for help, calling out to others to help. And one day I had a vision, just to make a long story short. I wake up in the morning and I felt the Spirit of God just came over me and I could not walk. I literally crawl on the ground and all I need to know is just to pray and pray and pray. I didn't know what to pray. I just know that it's important to pray, right? It's almost like, you know, you've been punched by a professional boxer and all you need to know is just the Holy Spirit just pull you on the ground and I pray. And next thing I know, I got this vision. I saw this man fishing on a boat and he's very tired, exactly what the scriptures talk about, and he's tired, and then he starts calling fishermen. So I wake up from this vision. It was late in the afternoon. This vision seemed like a 15 minutes vision, but by the time I come back out of this, I realized the whole day was gone by, and it was like 6 o'clock at 7 o'clock at the afternoon, and I was like, the whole day just gone. And a few days later, I walk in the church, and the Lord pointed out to me, say, that man that you see, he's the one I'm telling you about the vision. So I walked to him, and I was able to share with him about what the Lord gave me. And he started to sob, and he started to cry. And he's a pastor of a church. And he has a big church, about 8,000 to 9,000 people. And he was about to quit. He was about to close and go. He was tired of ministry. So when I talked to him, he said, John, do me a favor. Don't share this with anybody yet. I want to bring it to my leadership group, my pastors. We have about a group of 12 couple pastors in their church. So he bring it out to them. And next thing you know, he started to call out to other church to help. And there was no fish at the time. They've been fishing, they caught anything. So they started to do crusade and invited other churches. Within a period of month, there was about 38 churches came together. And by the end of the year, we had like 1,000 churches came into their network. And it was amazing because two weeks ago, I was checking on their website because that was years ago. So I checked their website out. I was shocked. We have over 5,000 churches around the world. And I thought, wow, is that amazing? And all started because of a vision of a dream, hopes renew again, and he keep going. And now he's in Dallas, Texas, planting churches. But we're originally from Africa. Right? And I thought, man, that's work. Right? And then, among the miracle, among the sign and wonders, when God do miracles, sign and wonders like this in your life, not to bless you, but to change your life, to transform your life. Look at this, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. What are you talking about? I mean, if God bless you, prosper you, suddenly you've been working hard, and now you just, for one time, your net, and you've been prosper. Why do you think God, what do you think happened in his mind right now? Why would Simon Peter say, he could say, Lord, thank you very much. I'm going to give my tithe. No, he didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? What did he say? I am a sinful. What do you think hit him? Suddenly, heaven just came. How many of you, first time Jesus make known, you realize who God is, like who Jesus is? You probably heard about it, but the first time you heard it, Some of them, you call it the born-again experience. Suddenly you feel like, I'm a sinner, and I need to repent. This is what happened to Simon Peter. I'm a sinner. Same thing happened to the prodigal son after he came to his senses. Suddenly, Simon Peter came to his senses. Miracle of God is to make you come to your senses, not for your reality of life, but to reality of God's life in your life. And a lot of you need to come to that senses. When you come alignment with God's reality, you realize one thing. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I am so wrong. Doesn't matter how thick. 5 minutes ago, you were so right. Next thing you know, I'm so wrong. I feel so guilty. I feel so bad. Oh, God. Now, the fish doesn't mean anything anymore. What you're trying to do, fulfill in your senses, in your life every day, when God shows up, these things don't mean anything anymore. And now, if Peter go talk to all the fishermen, the fishermen say, hey, who's your friend? Let him, I want him to work with me, you know, we can go and fish together. We can catch more fishes. And a lot of time, the world works like this. What happened? How do you get this? What do you try? You're hearing from God and you do it, things happen. They don't know God, they don't understand it. And they say, hey, where do you go? What happened? Like something changed. But when these things happen, this is the parable of the hidden treasure. What you find now, there's a bigger treasure that comes into your life. Verse 9, for he and all his companion was astonished and the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon Peter's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, for now on you will catch men. From now on you will catch men. So he pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything and followed him. Not only he, Peter, Simon Peter come, but also James and John. His partners also. Some of you have partners in business. Some of you have co-workers in business. When you come to reality of God's divine appointment in your life, now it's changes come. And what you were hoping for, suddenly that hope, suddenly there's another hope that's bigger than this hope in your life. The old wineskin cannot have the new wine anymore. That need to go. And some of you are at your crossroad in your life. You're realizing these things, what I used to be, what I used to do. I was a fisherman before, and I'm having now the greatest success in my life. God say, pack, go, and make fishers of men. It's time to move on. Unless you renew this, both you're going to waste. You're going to fish like this, you're going to sink, you're going to go down. But one thing that I felt like, this is the first experience with Peter, with Jesus. Some of you, you're at this level. But some of you, you probably have passed that level already. Now you move on. Right? In Mark chapter 8, go there. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Now, times go by. There's a time and now, we are following Jesus. We have been disciples. And some of you have already passed that stage. You've seen wonders. You've seen miracles. And God tell you to close the door, do something new. You move on. Verse 27. When Jesus and his disciples came on the village around Caesarea Philippi, on the way, he asked them, what do people say I am? What do people say who I am? That was an interesting question. Who am I? What do you think they say? 28, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophet. And then Jesus said, but you, not forget about what other people say, but you now. So he's going a little bit closer to them. He said, now, but what do you say I am? So he asked, and what do you say? And Peter's answer, you are the Christ. And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him, about this. The scriptures say that he was exceedingly rejoicing, happy, and glad. He literally shouted for joy. And he said, Father, this revelation, how you have kept it from the wise, but you release it, you know, to the children. And this is like you, that has been given to you by my Father who's in heaven. Now the next thing you know, not only are you hearing who Jesus do sign and wonders, miracles, some of you, you say, God, I want you to bless me, prosper me. You pass that stage, you go to another closer. Now the next thing you know, who is Jesus in your life? Unless the Father reveal it to you, you will never know. But when he revealed to Peter who Jesus is, and then Jesus turned around and said, you know what, Peter? Upon this rock, I will build my church. And then Peter means the rock, right? He said, upon you, I will build my church. Now, the next thing, you know what? This is the second seal that's opened in his life. The first seal was the fishes. Are you getting it? Now, the second seal, revelation, who I am. Now, the scroll is opened a bit further. Some of you have received revelation. Some of you asking God to bless you, he did, and then you think God tried to sink you. How many think that God wants to destroy your life? Don't think about it. He wants to destroy your life because that life, he wants another new life. He cannot put the old wine into old wineskin, new wine, old wine. He wants to put new, renew again. So now the second seal is open. Is it good? You enjoying this? Okay, maybe we and you would need to talk later. We go further down the road. Are you getting something here? Okay, how many have received revelation before? When God revealed things. When God asks you a question, it's not that he doesn't know the answer. It's not that he's asking for your counsel, for your wisdom. It's for you, for him to teach you to hear what you need to hear for that moment. When you hear it, what you hear from God, how many have asked question before? How many receive answer? You got it? Okay. The answer that God speak to you, what like Peter, that was for his purpose, for his destiny down the road. You will build my church. What? God just said, who am I? Next thing, this is where your destiny. Who is Jesus? That's your destiny. The more you hear revelation of God in your life, the Father reveal it to you, God asking you question, that is going to point you towards your future and your destiny of God in your life. That's the next seal. You got it? So what are the revelation God's been speaking to you? Not what you want. Now, if you're still dealing with the fishing and the net and all this thing, you're not there yet. But if you're done with that level, gone, move on. When you're the next level, when you are closer to what God's calling to your destiny. You get it? Okay. Now, Luke chapter 22. Oh God, help us with the time. Stop the clock for a moment. Okay, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Let's read from verse 28, from verse 20. You, of those who have stood by me in my trial, I have conferred you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me. God now is giving you the responsibility of the kingdom. Not just like he did on Jesus, but now you are going in the further. Now, if you want to go now, passing that second seal broken open revelation of now not only know who Jesus is in your life, but you're moving on right now. Now you realize the revelation of the kingdom, the responsibility of the kingdom is not only for Jesus, but it's also now your responsibility. Understand that? Verse 29, as I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And when he says, verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go to prison and to die for you. Verse 34, Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crow today, you will deny me three times, and you know that you know me. And Jesus asked him, when I sent you with a... Okay. When God started to give now only your destiny, your purpose, but now he's now putting you be responsible, the enemy want to come against you. If your enemy has not tried to come against you, then you're not there. But if he want to destroy, want to take away your life, then you're in this place where you have to choose right now. You have a choice. And I know that some of this situation, you're like, do I really have a choice? Well, no, not really. Right? And this is a time when you felt like the hopes are gone, everything is destroyed, and amazingly people say to come to Peter, say, you know, I think you're with him, right? You're with Jesus, right? And one other person was a slave girl who confronted Peter. How do you think about this? Now I want you to think about this custom, this culture 2,000 years ago. You know, women don't point the finger. You don't do that. That's a part of the culture. Not only that, this is a girl, and she's a slave. You don't bring accusation. Even the kind of, show you the picture, like, even the one who has literally has no voice in the lane, make Peter run away. At one time, I will do everything for you. I will die for you. I chop the ears of the soldiers. I will kill. Next thing you know, the slave girl walk in. Whoa. Now, and Jesus say, I know. I know. Satan has asked to take you away, to destroy your life, but I pray that your faith, what? Your faith will what? But your faith will be strong. Right now, some of you come to this place, you say, God, I'm in this time in my life that at one time I was ready for God, I was ready for Jesus, I was fireball, you know, and I can, but right now, I'm in a place where your faith level need to rise up. Because there's something bigger down the road for you. And this is when, next thing, after the resurrection, which I don't have time to go, it's Jesus wants to restore Peter and say to Peter, you know what? Do you love me? Do you really love me? And Peter said, you know I love you, God. You know I do. And Peter said, do you really love me? Some of you, you're going to come to this place, and that's a crossroad of your time, your life, your ministry with God right now, where you're going to be confronted with this, how much do you love him? And if you answer yes, 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 sometimes it takes 10 years for people to answer this 3 yes. Sometimes some people take a month. But if you answer yes every three times, he will tell you, go and feed my sheep. Go and help others. We have communion this morning. The purpose of you to lay down and help somebody else. We have communion. God, I will give you glory. Unless you become a new wineskin, this renewal, 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 it never stops. God will never stop changing you. And when you keep going, God's going to pour out his new wine. He pour out his new spirit. He pour out new strength. He pour out new purpose. He built on that. Okay? Okay. There's many times God changed this. Last time we read, there's a new song in heaven. It changed everything. Now, I've been telling you something. There's something new God is doing around the world. It's going to change everything again. Don't settle down what you used to. It's changing again. When Jesus walked in the temple one day and he saw that money changes and he saw they're selling the, you know, the birds, the pigeon and the goats and everything. And now, if you think about Israel 2,000 years ago. Israel was the epic, the center of the world. People come from all over to Jerusalem to go to the temple to bring their sacrifice and their offering. And these people come with a different currency. But in the temple, the priests only take the local currency. So there's a need to have money changes. And they need to buy this animal so that they can go in every year to bring their offering, to bring their sacrifice. They need to have this animal for sale. Jesus walked in and when he turned everything, he get upset. Right? You understand that? Sometimes you wonder, why God are you afraid? Why am I offending you? This is something that I've been doing all the time. This is supposed to be a good thing that I learned in the church. And suddenly God changed the new rule. And God said, my house is called house of prayer for all nations. What Jesus did in that day, he said, now there's a new things. People coming from all the world, but now it's not that they're coming here. Now you go to the nation. And when you say, and just before that experience, he cursed the fig tree and he died. It's almost like something like God has cursed in your life and he died. What was a fig? He was hungry. He wanted to eat. Peter wanted to fish. That's what he got a living for. Something like stop, door just jam, close. Like what's happening right now in my life? Time for new thing. You understand that? Now he said, if you command the mountain to be removed, like just the same faith that I use against that fig tree, then you can go. And God is now telling you, you have to have the faith to go. And this mountain, I mean, Jerusalem, we call it Tel, like mountain, the Tel. And from this mountain, there's a lot of mountain. If you go to the world, there's mountains, there's valleys. And not only that, you go to these places, say, you have faith, you command this mountain to be removed, it will, shall be removed. There's a new level of faith, which is new word that coming. Now, one thing that I want you to pay attention, Peter, for him to have his miracle, he understand there's no fish. I can guarantee you there was no fish in this water. Nothing happened unless God make a miracle. So suddenly he understand God is the most important thing in my life. But not only God is the most important thing, God, move on, move on, move on, move on. Next thing he know, you love me. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Sheep, I've never been a shepherd before. I'm a fisherman. Well, you're going to learn. How many think about this? Sometimes when God say a new thing, you don't even need to knock on the door. By the time you go first, you press the doorbell, we open the door, say, come in. It's wide open. We wanted to go to Peru for 3 years. We've been praying. Nothing happened. Next thing we know, we find out, door's wide open. You have to hear what the Spirit is saying, and hearing God's going to open things like this in your life. But some of the things that need to be go, it has to go. You can't live in the old and want to have the new. It's not possible. Okay? All right. Remember, your Friday is going to be a Sunday. Okay. We have the PowerPoint. Can I put in the PowerPoint quickly? I want to show you. Is that okay if I take another 5 minutes? Okay, those of you, you're hungry, you can't wait for a hot dog, you want to go, fine, go. Be happy to go. But if you want to stay, I would really appreciate that. Okay, the oil and the wine. Okay, Banya Spring, this is a picture. Hopefully, if you want to have the lights off, you want the light off? If you want the lights off, switch it off. I don't know if you can see on the board here, this is called Banyas. This is Caesarea Philippi. This is where we just read from the Bible. This is a place in the northern part of Israel where Jesus said to his disciple, "Who do people think I am? Who am I?" This is the same place where Peter said, "You are Christ." And this is the place where Jesus said to Peter, "Thank you, God, that you reveal these things to the little one." Right? Now, this is the northern part. There's different. Caesarea Philippi was, that name was given after Philip. And when he was honoring, the governor was honoring Caesar, and that we call this name Caesarea Philippi. That place has different name, but it called Banias, but in the Greek, it called Panias. Somebody called it Pan. Now, Panias, you will find out here, the purpose we call it Pan is it comes from the word panic. Panias, like same, like those who have heart attack. How many of you work in the medical, you know, this kind of thing, so you know the word what I'm talking about. What is this place? This is a place where they offer sacrifice to the god of Pan. The god of Pan is half animal, half human. And there's a cave. I'm going to show you there. There's a cave, and they bring their offering. Sometimes they bring babies, children. They sacrifice them, and the water coming from the mountain where the blood, if the blood touches the water, it's not good. They need to sacrifice. So the smaller the baby, the better. Inside the cave, there's a big circle around. There's like a rock table in the middle, like a little island. And this is where they sacrifice. And around it, water will come. And that water comes from Mount Hermon. And that mount, if you look at the map of Israel, it's the highest peak in Israel, the highest level in Israel. And that the only river that coming down to in the land of Israel, it literally run all the way south to Jordan River, where Jesus baptized, and it go all the way down to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest level in the surface of the earth. So from the highest peak of Israel and the lowest part of the world, which is the Dead Sea. Now, Mount Hermon has another mountain next to it. It was the second highest peak where Abraham stood on this mountain where the Lord spoke to him. Right? So I'm going to show you. Okay, this is Mount Hermon. You see the snow there and everything. So when it melt, it literally ran down this place called Panias. It have to go to the stream. Can I have the next one? And this is a picture of what it used to look like in the old days with the cave. You probably won't be able to see it when you sit all the way back, unless if you have a bionic eyes, then you'll be able to zoom in. Okay? And this, we call it the Temple of Zeus. Next one. And this is, again, you won't be able to read it. Next one. And this is the entrance of the cave. And this guy standing there, he was with us he's a pastor up north, went down. So this is the entrance of the cave right now. If you look at the entrance of the cave, you probably realize this like two eyes and a mouth and a nose. You see that? Okay. Next one. And this is the spring that's running down. Okay. Let's see this. Okay. Okay, next one. Okay, that's still waters going down. Next one. Okay, now we go to Capernaum, the town of Jesus. This is where we read the scriptures where the fishermen were fishing when Jesus said, put the fish a little bit further in Galilee. Okay, just the picture's not, you know, this is the house of Peter. Next. And this is the temple in Capernaum. This is where they give Jesus a scroll. This is where he opened the seal. Now, you understand there's a seal that in here and there's a seal that is in heaven when he opened the seventh seal in heaven, Revelation chapter 6. But this is the seal in the temple. Where did it start? It? In the temple. And today, what is your temple? You are the temple. You are the temple. Your seal is within you. The kingdom of God is in you. You are the church. You are the temple. And he opened the scroll. He read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that's the place. Next one. This is a shore. This is today. We don't know what it looked like 2000. Maybe not many grasses. But this is give you an idea what the lake looked like. And where they were fishing. And something about this is the boat in Galilee today. Now, one thing you know that in the Sea of Galilee, the weather changed very quick, very fast. It could be good weather one day. An hour you're on the boat, it can be so windy and not good at all. And there's a boat 2,000 years old that we saw and everything. So this is a boat today, and the guy, his name is David. He's a Jewish believer, and he sing worship on the boat. We go there. So if we go to Israel, we'll go on this boat. Next one. And this is an olive tree. The olive and, okay, next one. This is a 2,000 years old olive press. This is how they press the olive to get the oil. This is in Nazareth. This is the place where Jesus grew up, right? So they say, archaeologists say, very, very possible that Jesus was using that olive press because he grew up and this is the only one they found in that is 2,000 years old, right? And I'll give you a couple more pictures on that. And this is now, again, Gethsemane, which is garden where Jesus cry and he weep. Now, there's a season, and sometimes not only Jesus changed the world, he changed new things, but the Father was the one who literally said, it's my will to be done. And what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? He wept and he cried and his sweat became like blood, right? And he was crying. And a lot of time, the meaning of the new wine press, it represents also the experience of the Garden of Gethsemane. So some of you might be going through that experience right now. The wine press need to be at work. Okay? Next one. Okay. This is a museum in Jerusalem. And this is the top, the roof of the museum. I mean, you know what it looked like? It looked like the lid of a jar of the scroll. And this is a museum where all the papyrus, the scroll, the Bible scroll, is inside this museum. And this is similar to the cover of the cup of the jar of the scroll. Right? Okay. I'm going to explain why I put this. Okay. What the scroll represents, the purpose of God in your life. Right? You want to go next one? Okay, what does it mean? It means to speak. When God speaks to you, God wants you also now to speak, to make known, and to declare publicly what God is doing in your life. Next one. It will represent your new way of life, how you would live and be satisfied. That's the only way. And you don't change. You are going to be moody, grumpy until the day you die. Unless you take it. And when you take it, this new challenge, right? Okay, 4 point. What to do? You will know what to do. When God opened the scroll of your life, he will tell you what to do, who you will be called to, exactly who to go, where to go, and to carry his word, anointing, and how to release that anointing. If I'm like, if God called me to be in Ajax, I know what to do and I know what to say and how to release His word and His anointing. But if I'm not called here, I come here every morning, guess what? It'd be boring. I don't even want to be here. That's how you know. Okay? 5, you will be a prophet to a specific kind of people and they're very specifically clear. So you will have clear understanding what God is saying and how to speak that prophetic word. So you be a prophet and not only you give the message, but you will become the message. Because you are the scroll, God opened it, not just for you, for your sake, but for others to recognize who God is in your life. Okay? 6, you will be anointed by the Spirit of God, and He will lift you up and show your spirit what you need to hear and see. And God is open vision, spiritual realm of reality, what your life is going to be. What are you going to see? What you're going to experience? One good passage, Ezekiel chapter 3. Read this. Everything that Ezekiel experienced, God showed him what to do, what to say. One time he was run away, right? The brook dry up. Sorry, go back again. Then you will be strong. Then you will feel strong by the hand of God upon your life and you become a friend of God. Because a servant don't know the master business, but a friend does. Now God's going to call you friend. You're going to be closer to Him. Right? Next one. You will become watchman and you want to give warning to people. You will be held accountable of their life, blood, right? But if they do not listen to you, they turn, they'll die for their sin, but you will be saved and you will carry the burden. But sometimes God also gives you the burden of a nation to carry. Now, not everybody has been in this place. Some people have, some people haven't. Doesn't matter how much revival you experience, if you cannot carry burden, if you cannot carry your own burden, how are you going to carry burden of people? How can you carry the burden of nation? If you cannot run with men, how can you run with horses? What the scriptures say. Okay? But that is the grace of God. It's not that you choose the people or you choose a nation. It's like the hand of God. God's going to empower your life so much that you make you so strong. Not necessarily mean popular, but strong in the spirit, in the things of God. Right? Some people are disappointed. I don't want to, you want to be popular. Sometimes that's not what. If you are popular, God will use this to unpopular you so that He can use you. Okay? Next one. You have personal encounter face to face with God and see His glory, just like Moses did. You will get to know God's glory in your life. I don't know how many of you are hungry for that. But that come, not just like, okay, God said, I'm going to reveal to you my face today, and that's it. Bye-bye, have a nice day, go have some burger. No, it has purpose and meaning, okay? You will become a face-down worshiper in His presence. So you're going to be like bowing before His presence in the time of worship. Because everything inside you is going to call up. That's a different type of worshiper, God's calling. Next one. Ezekiel 3:27. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say what to say to them. This is what the Lord says. And when you started to speak right from the Spirit of God, God will put word in your mouth and to speak. The next thing you know, you will not be fear what people say, but what God's saying. Now, do you want to stop? You want to go? Want to go one more? Let's go one more. Okay, and you will know that the Lord have tied you up with His rope. You know God does that? How many find like sometimes God has tie you up. You're like this boat. You're rowing and you're rowing. Am I there yet? But the boat is tied up Doesn't matter how hard you row, you're still in the same place. What happened 5 years ago, and you're still here 5 years later. And when God tie you up, you cannot run away until you have finished your purpose. How many felt this way? And this is when God said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Oh, God, okay. I will never leave you. I'm tying you up right now. You like that? I will never leave you, never forsake you. You got it? That's what he say. You're too precious. God will tie you up until you finish this. And many people express this a different way. Paul say, I have run the race and finished it. So God will make sure that you, he's the Alpha and the Omega, he is the beginning and the end, he's the one who ordered your faith, and he will make it to the end. And he know how to tie you, how to release you, how to move you around. So the next thing is like, will you accept his new things in your life? Understand to open the seal and to release what God has for your life. Now, if you have received, if you have listened to this message like this about the new wine before, well, that person probably have visited heaven, because I've never heard this and never preached this before. Just a new thing God's giving me to tell the people. You're the first one to receive what God revealed to me. And I pray that your eyes be open. You will see things. You will understand what God is saying in your life. Amen? Okay, let's stand up. Bob, why don't you come and pray for us this morning?
Lord, we thank you for the word spoken this morning, Lord. We thank you for revelation, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we have ears to hear, Lord, and eyes to see, Lord, what you would have us do, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask to be attentive to your words, Lord, and we ask that as we spend time in prayer with you, Lord, and in your presence, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us, Lord, and your purpose for us. And we just pray this morning again that we're willing vessels, Lord, and willing to do what you would have us do, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for this place, Lord. We thank you for our pastoral team of John and Alex, Lord. We ask that you lift their family up and them up, Lord, and put a hedge of protection around their home, Lord. We thank you for each and every person here this morning, Lord. We ask that you be with them for this week and this year and for the rest of the time they have with you, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for all of our blessings, Lord. We ask, Lord, that we never take anything for granted, and we thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, we do love you. We do lift your name. We glorify you in this place this morning, Lord, and we thank you for each and everything you've done for us. But mostly, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name, Lord, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Amen.